Brethren, I want everybody to stand up, please, if you're able. That's for your back and your legs. Before my treat to you. And it didn't cost me a thing. And then as you wish, you may sit back down. I hope that felt good. It really felt good when I stood up. It was actually Brother Comey's idea. He's a great brother. Now you know my password. I appreciated Brother Homer's prayer. He asked the Lord's blessing upon my service. And we realize as elders together that without the Lord's blessing, we are powerless. We couldn't do it. But he also asked the Lord's blessing on all those who will be participating in the Vesper. And I have a very special choir prepared for you tonight. It's you. So you'll join your voices together with all of us this evening. We'll sing a few hymns, read a few scriptures, and look for the Lord's blessing. Brother Comey, you'll let me know when all is well and we may continue. Actually, my computer came up faster than I thought it would. Good? All right. A few thoughts to soothe the soul. I've appreciated so much the themes of this convention. Consecration, sanctification, the process, love the process described in the making of gems in the earth and contrasting it with mushrooms. I always get a good crop of mushrooms in the front yard. Don't know why. Jonah, consecrated attitudes. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time. The theme text tonight, talking about what manner of persons ought you to be in the midst of all the cataclysmic events going on in the world. How do we do that? Interestingly, we take care of that burden by shouldering another burden. This one right here behind me. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is by taking the light burden of Christ that we are assisted in accomplishing this thing of what manner of persons ought we to be. And we rely so much on Christ because he loves us with an inseparable love. Now, the adversary would have us believe at times that we're not worthy of his love, but we have no statement on our Lord's part that we would ever not be worthy of his love. His love abides and endures. It never fails. It is ours now and forever. In the face of all this, what is there left to say? If God is for us, who could be against us? He that did not hesitate to spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, can we not trust such a God to give us, with him, everything else that we can need? Who would dare to accuse us whom God has chosen? The judge himself has declared us free from sin. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble, pain, or persecution? Can lack of clothes and food, danger to life and limb, the threat of force of arms? Indeed, some of us know the truth of the ancient text. For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, we win an overwhelming victory through him who has proved his love for us. I've become absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, neither messenger of heaven nor monarch of earth, neither what happens today nor what may happen tomorrow, neither a power from on high nor a power from below, nor anything else in God's whole creation has any power to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Inseparable love, and it's ours. Jesus said that if he be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him, and we look forward to the ultimate fulfillment of that And we enjoy the fulfillment of it in our lives now. We have been drawn to Him. We feel an inseparable love for Him in the present time. We trust in Jesus. Let us raise our voices together in expressing our trust for Jesus. Grace begun. It's going to happen. The glories of God's eternal kingdom will be enjoyed in such a full and rich manner by those who are His saints. We hear Jesus calling to us, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Everyone bears burdens in this world. Mankind is afflicted with them, whether they want them or not. Why is Christ's burden light and easy? So many people perceive the Christian life as a series of don't do this and don't do that and shaming and beating down and berating. That's not Christianity. Jesus' burden is easy because in Him we have that forgiveness of sins that we read about in Romans 8. The judge has already declared us not guilty. And so, we press on. We can have the highest consecration values, virtues, idealisms that are possible to our minds. And the danger for most is that they will fail. They can never attain to it, and they would become discouraged. But for us, we can have those high idealisms, and when we fail, the love of God in Christ Jesus, the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus, the grace of God in Christ Jesus is there with us. We remember Paul's expressions, his evaluation of his ministry and himself as a man, "Wretched man that I am." Why? Because of the inexorable law that operated in his flesh. The things I do want to do, I can't find a way to do it. The very things I hate, that's what I do. And so I see a law that with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. I get it. I confess it. But with my mind, I serve the law of God in Christ Jesus. And then Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so his yoke is easy. There's a lightness to it. And there's a lightness to it also in the eventuality of what will be ours for bearing it. We speak of the Father's love and mercy. He rewards far greater than any of us deserve, and I would wager that he rewards us far greater than any of us can really imagine under present circumstances. There's a lightness to that burden. It is an easy yoke. Join me in singing about it. I have a secret weapon. Honey, what number is this one?
Maybe
283.
284.
Thank you. We cherish those living waters. How often have you said to someone, you know, the Bible, it's called the living book, that Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Most people never get to enjoy that fact in this life because they take that living book and leave it on the shelf. But to have that privilege of pulling that book out and reading this living word, feeling the very Spirit of God coming out of it energizes us and refreshes us and gives us strength to bear the burdens of the day. We're God's children. The things of God interest us very greatly. We like to know what He's doing. We like to gain the vantage point of the Heavenly Father's perspective on things. We follow our Lord Jesus because He's our trusted guide. He's the great shepherd. and he shepherds us with such tender care. You know, one of my favorite concepts in the scriptures is the parable that Jesus speaks of. A shepherd had 100 sheep, and one was lost. And he didn't say, well, I've got 99%. That's great. He leaves the 99 and goes to find the one. And that's a powerful lesson. And that's inseparable love, isn't it? And that's the kind of love he has for you and me. You know, we might say, oh, I lost 10, that's 90%. That was still an A in school. As a matter of fact, a passing grade was a C, so I could lose 30 of these sheep and still be in good condition, right? That's not our Lord. That one was so important. So if the adversary, the world, your flesh, whatever it is, gets you so discouraged that you think, that's it. No, it's not. Because you're that one sheep that he loves, and he's going to come for you. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And those of us sitting in this room tonight have that privilege of being able to say, ah, that's the voice of Jesus. I hear it, and I will follow him. And so we enter the paths that the Lord has put before us. We are full of trust in this bond of inseparable love. Wheresoever he leads, we will follow. And on that journey, we have the assurances that he will never, never, never forsake us. He will never, never, never abandon us. He's the faithful shepherd. We are so thankful that we can say, all the way, my Savior leads me. Isn't that a beautiful thought?
Yeah.
It's my song through endless ages. You ever wonder where it's going to take us, brethren? I do. I have no doubt that it's going to be spectacular. And I like to wonder about how the Lord is going to work out the rest of eternity. What marvelous works He has in store. We look to the heavens and we're inspired. You know, the scriptures speak of God making wonderful little things. And in the book of Job, the Lord is saying, "Did you see the lightning that I made? The lightning? And isn't rain great? Did you see the rain that I made and how it works and the clouds of the heavens? And isn't that just awesome? The Lord enjoys His creation. What a fantastic work this planet is. What a fantastic work the human family is. And it's not even finished yet." But I like all the spectrum that He does with colors, you know, when the sun is rising, but especially sometimes when the sun is setting, and you've got the clouds just perfect in the sky, and the sun is getting very red in the distance, and it just kind of captures this beautiful hue in the sky. And I'm moved, deeply moved by it. I love to be with the Lord, and I love to abide with the Lord. And I love my meditations in the night watches. I used to worry when I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning with things spinning through my head, and I'd fret and try to put them out of my head and wrestle with them in bed. And then I said, "Well, wait a minute. No, I'm not having much success putting these things out of my head. So I'll take the opportunity to pray while I'm awake." And you know, after a while, I enjoyed waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. All right. Prayer time, meditation time, close to the Lord time. And after the, if you will, the lumps we take all day long and challenges to our faith, how great to lay there figuratively in the Father's arms and just say, "Abide with me." Let's sing about it, shall we?
Amen.
noontide, the beauty of the sunset fades into the night. Then, if we're in the right spot, stars come out. I remember when I was a child, I lived in an area that was absent enough light pollution that we could camp out in the backyard and lay there and stare up at the sky and see the Milky Way intensely. I couldn't believe how many stars were out there. I even asked my mom if she knew. She didn't. A lot. The stars are magnificent. And they have inspired many, many beautiful things in the world of poetry. Many different visions, children's songs, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. But for me, I think one of the most spectacular insights, the most spectacular poetry on the stars and the heavens is Psalm 19. I love it that it says to the chief musician, these were set to music. And the chief musician, here are the lyrics. Give us the melody. It's a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. The brilliance of the heavens. Picture us the brilliance of our Lord. We give him thanks for the blessings we've had at the convention so far today. We rejoice in all the thoughts that have been presented. And now we'll part and take all these treasures back to our rooms, back to our beds. I don't know if I'm going to wake up at 3:00 this morning, but if I do, you're welcome to join me. But let the song that has been in our heart this day and this evening, let the melodies that we've sung and the praises to the Lord fill us and delight us and sustain us. Let us close with a parting hymn. Many tokens that he will remain with us. May the Lord bless our fellowship.